Well, did you hear that last line in the Old Testament lesson that Deacon Glendy read? Speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die. No pressure, huh? Well, I don't claim the title of prophet. I do have it in my job description to speak for God as a pastor called to this place. So, nothing like being a new pastor, starting in a pandemic, pastoring through a tumultuous election cycle in a place that has a good history of bringing together people who hold a broad range of opinions about what is happening in the world. There frankly could be minefields everywhere. And throw in these words from Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, and it's tempting to say, for today's message, we're going to practice an ancient form of spirituality called silent meditation. Well, you at least can't say the wrong thing in silence. But in our gospel today, we see that Jesus wasn't silent, and so neither shall we be. In Mark, the Gospel of Mark, Jesus speaks, and he acts, and he also prays. We are reading through the Gospel of Mark this year in our scripture readings for worship, and for me, there's a lot to like about Mark. Of the four Gospels, it's the one that is the shortest and gets to the point the fastest. In contrast, the Gospel of John, for example, has much more lengthy discourses and flowery language. I was working with a premarital couple many years ago at about the same time I was preparing a Bible study on the Gospel of Mark. So they seemed to have a point of contention about something very similar. The young woman reported that when her soon-to-be husband would ask, "How was your day?" she was inclined to summarize and give a few high-level points unless there was something she thought they needed to talk through. He, on the other hand, was more likely to restate entire conversations verbatim, talk through processes, go into many details. "Oh," I exclaimed as they were telling me about this, "you could have written the Gospel of Mark," I said to her, "and you could have written John to him." And yes, that kind of got a blank stare from them. But it led to a good conversation about different types of communication and how we benefit from more than one kind in our lives together. I would also say that's true of our scriptures. In a conversation with this couple a few years later, they said they still make jokes about the Gospel of Emily and the Gospel of Eric in their conversation. And they even perk up a little bit when they notice differences in the scripture read in church. So Mark has started out, and in succinct fashion, of course. Here's the action so far: Jesus' baptism, Jesus' temptation, Jesus calls the first disciples, and now Jesus gets into a fight. Yeah, a verbal fight. Anyone been in one of those lately? We live in an era where social media provides a ready platform for anyone wanting to get into a fight these days, doesn't it? I've had conversations with some of you about conscious choices to engage or not engage in conversations that are probably going to head into this realm. It can make it hard for us to decide how and when to speak, and also how and when to listen. Well, Jesus engages for this verbal fight, but in this case, if we're looking for drama or a multi-screen verbal battle, it's not going to happen. There is little doubt who will win this showdown. The Spirit protests Jesus' very presence, and Jesus casts him away with a command as authoritative as it is succinct. And because of Jesus' bold teaching and power over this spirit of oppression, his fame in the region spreads quickly. He is becoming the equivalent of a first-century internet sensation. From these first events, we can read this scene as Mark's signal that Jesus has come for this. He has come to oppose all the forces that keep the children of God from the abundant life God desires for all of us. And that message matters because it is still the case. God wants the most for us from this life and stands in opposition to anything that robs us of the joy and community and purpose for which we were created. Our God is a God of the broken. And our church is a fellowship of people who are searching. That's pretty much all it takes to be a member of Jesus' disciples then or now. Recognition of our deep need and trust that Jesus has come to meet it. In your life right now, is there a place of brokenness or disappointment or fear? How about for our larger communities? Jesus' story today shows us that God does not stay away from us because of these challenges or shortcomings, but rather draws nearest to us precisely in these moments. And as you look outward, are you getting a glimpse of brokenness in someone in your family or among your friends or at work or in the neighborhood? I wonder if God might be choosing to work through you to draw that person to new life. God is still at work casting out the unclean spirits of the world, and God is using us to continue our Lord's work. These unclean spirits, some versions say demons, or better understood in our context, the brokenness we are talking about, can destroy us, can't it? We want to cast it out, but how? Well, a first step is to name it. And then we can pray, as Jesus does throughout the Gospel of Mark, and particularly in situations where he is being called upon as healer. Naming the unclean spirits, naming our brokenness, is a way to recognize that they exist. It puts us in a place to face what might be our biggest demon, unbelief. Unbelief is pretty heavy. It is losing one's faith in God, in life as a sacred force, and in our fellow human beings. It's the feeling that nothing can be done to solve our problems. But praying is not a pious resignation to God's will or an exercise that simply puts our minds at ease, but rather, using theologian Ched Meyer's words, it is an intensely personal struggle within each disciple and among us collectively to resist the despair and distractions that cause us to practice unbelief, to abandon or avoid the way of Jesus. In other words, it is the struggle to believe that change can really happen, that a better world is possible. A new year is as good a time as any, I think, to reflect on our prayer life and think about it as a practice in our lives. Our staff and council are going to start using a daily devotional called the Daily Texts. It's a simple daily reading of two short scripture passages and a prayer. I can't wait to see how this will create a foundation in our work together and in how we care for and pray for each other. In this devotional, there are places each week and each month to write prayers, so it can serve as a prayer journal as well. I've been out of practice for a bit, but any time I've kept a prayer journal in the past, it has been so fruitful for me to be able to look back at what was heavy, what felt broken, and then to see how prayer may have been answered, and often in a surprising way. That's something that has strengthened my faith. If you are interested in joining in with this daily devotional practice and using it as a prayer journal, we have extras of the Daily Texts available for purchase. They're $10 each, and you can get them in the church office. I am also delighted to share that one of our very own, Laura Welchek, She's part of our music team, as well as other illustrious positions like council, and she was chair of the call committee. She has designed a combo planner and prayer journal. She felt this need in her life, and it's so cool that she had the gifts to bring it to life. The prayerful planner is available on Amazon, or you can call the church office if you're interested in ordering, and we can point you in the right direction. So whether you choose the prayerful planner, the daily texts, or a different devotional or prayer journal, I encourage you to start an intentional prayer life now, if you haven't already. There's plenty to pray about, and may God speak to you through your prayer life anew. Let us pray. Gracious God, move into our prayer lives, giving us the hope that change can really happen. Show us that a better world is possible. Cast out our demons, heal our brokenness. Bring us new life in the way of Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.